And item number 16. Okay, we'll take a quick break. Mom says that, so take a 10-minute.
It's official or not.
I did step on your toes.
It's hard.
I was almost done. I was going to make your socioeconomic pitch. They're asking for some direction, and if they don't get any, and...
Okay, thank you. Get underway with item number 16. Now, Lower Columbia River Sturgeon Management Policy. This is a briefing and public hearing. So, Laura, I'll turn it over to you and Bill again.
Thank you, and good morning. So, my name is Laura Hieronymus. I'm the Columbia River Sturgeon Smelt and Lamprey Unit Lead, and I think you already are familiar with Bill Twight here. So we'll be reviewing the commission policy C-3001, the Lower Columbia Sturgeon Management Policy. And this policy specifically addresses the sturgeon population in the Lower Columbia downstream of Bonneville Dam. That population's open to the ocean, and so it includes those found in coastal estuaries and tributaries as well. So I'll go through some policy background information. We'll briefly cover the updates, and I will wrap up with the advisor and public comments that I've received. So this policy has been around for over 20 years now, and in that time, it's had numerous termination dates every year to 3 years, but it's been really consistent in the language, and that language is provided conservation objectives to protect the population and management objectives to provide for sustainable fishing guidelines. And that language has also been fairly broad to protect the population, whether it's been in fair or poor condition throughout time. Conversely, the Joint State Accord is the management regulation document, and that's developed and negotiated with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is consistent with the policy objectives, but it has our more specific regulations, such as hook size, salt limit, quota, share allocations, and things like that. So the current policy has actually been in effect since March 1st, 2014, and expires here in a few weeks. And I've bulleted here a few of the things out of that policy that characterized it well, and those are increasing the abundance of the spawning population, managing with a precautionary approach due to uncertainties in population parameters, when resources are available to monitor the population, when retention fisheries are allowed to provide viable and diverse fishing opportunities. And the policy also delegates authority to the director for management, and that's where we go to Oregon and negotiate that joint state accord. So some of our proposed updates, I'll just touch on what I thought were the key updates here, but you should have a track changes version in front of you with everything. Are removing the expiration or termination date at the top of the policy. Again, we've had over 20 years of drafts, and the language has remained fairly consistent, so it's not changing a whole lot at this point. We've organized and simplified the language quite a bit to help make it a more straightforward and easy to understand document. And we've added a few new points that we thought helped round out the policy. And those are in the conservation objective section, we added a piece about Columbia River flows. And in the annual review section, we added some topics related to that removal of the expiration date about policy updates, director reviews, and consulting with advisors. So we'll just do section by section real quick. And so we'll start with the conservation objectives, which is at the top. We've updated some language. So again, simplifying, this is where instead of continue to monitor, we have just monitor. There's a lot of times where it's overly wordy, and we try to clean that up a little bit. The next bullet is adding our estimate population abundance for all size classes. This is was put into that population monitoring section, and it actually came out of the management objective section. So we just moved it up and reorganized it to make it make more sense. And then this is a new bullet here, and that's advocating for Columbia River flow regimes that promote successful spawning, incubation, and early rearing. And that's to promote not just a single species approach to flow regimes, but to promote an ecosystem-based approach for our other native species. Now I'll move to our management objectives. So again, moved that abundance estimate up to the conservation section. More updating and simplifying language. For example, instead of management should be based on consideration of, just management should consider. We can clean that up quite a bit. There was a change in a few bullet points. There's one where it previously stated minimize emergency in-season action. First of all, that's standard operating procedure. It's much easier as managers to minimize that in-season action and provide those seasons up front. But when we're dealing with populations where we have very small quotas, we need to manage at a tighter schedule with fewer days. And so it's pretty difficult to get around that in-season action. So instead, we thought it more appropriate to have stay within those approved harvest guidelines to maintain that conservation-oriented approach. The next bullet is in reference to our fisheries outside of the main stem Columbia. And previously, this just said that those fisheries should be consistent with lower Columbia conservation and management objectives. And we thought to incorporate more of that conservation-minded approach, it was pertinent to add that those fisheries must take into account the ability to monitor and manage those fisheries and be consistent with Lower Columbia River conservation objectives. And then the next piece on green sturgeon, there was a piece before about protective measures for green sturgeon, but there's already a moratorium on fishing for green sturgeon, so as fisheries managers, there's not a lot more else we can do to protect them, because there's already a moratorium. So we thought it more pertinent to add maintain prohibition of green sturgeon retention until delisting occurs and retention can be reevaluated. So the final section is under annual review. We removed the expiration or termination date because now we felt like this policy has been through many drafts. It's pretty broad. It is effective when there is or is not retention allowed, and it's definitely taken more steps towards that conservation.
Is that photo one of ours?
Yeah.
Did you send it?
That was, I'm not actually sure where this came from. I found it in one of Brad James's old files of sea lions, so, but I believe it is on the Columbia.
Great photo.
Sort of.
Right. In a morbid self.
So to address the removal of the expiration date, we still want the ability to update the policy if necessary in the future. So we added language that the policy may be updated as part of any annual Lower Columbia stock status review. So there will still be somebody here annually providing that stock status review. And at that time, if the policy for some reason no longer fits with what's going on in that political climate, we can provide updates. We also added language that the director will provide the commission a review of this policy at least every 5 years, and that's up to the commission how they'd like to receive that review. And the last piece that we added here was a piece about director consulting with the appropriate recreational and commercial advisory bodies during this process. And we already consult with them, but we thought it appropriate to add it into the policy to make it something kind of written down and consistent through time. But to play off of that last piece, we did send this out to our Columbia River recreational and commercial advisors and receive comments. So I'm just going to go through quickly some of the comments that I received from them and from the public after releasing this. So of our 20 recreational advisors in the Columbia, 3 of them did provide comments. There was some concern over phrasing of balance catch between estuary and non-estuary fisheries. So I'll point out real quick, that's not new language, that was already in the policy, and that share allocation is outlined in this joint state accord. There was concern from one of our advisors over the current status of the population, and you recommended no retention or catch and release fishing the coming year. It was also recommended that we follow the objectives outlined in ODFW's Lower Columbia River and Oregon Coast White Sturgeon Conservation Plan, including taking action when approaching or surpassing conservation thresholds as they're outlined in that plan. And then there was also a lot of concern expressed to me from many people over the pinniped predation in the Lower River. Again, we had three commercial advisors provide comments, too. There was concern over the 80-20 sport commercial harvest allocation, and that individual felt that it should be more of a 50-50 split. There was concern of fishing guides using the sport quota rather than the commercial quota. There was comment about the phrasing of spread harvest opportunity throughout the year, specifically as the only opportunity they received this year was in the main stem fall fisheries or in the safe fisheries for commercial sturgeon harvest. There was a recommendation for policy to have a stronger stance on conservation and offer more protection for sturgeon resources. There was a recommendation for consideration of hatchery production of sturgeon. One of our advisors also expressed concern of the status of the population and recommended no retention fishing. And again, more concern from commercial advisors over the pinniped predation. And then I also did receive a few comments from the public. I had somebody call in from the coast and another person from Puget Sound, both requesting retention allowed in those areas where it's currently only open for catch and release. And I had another individual contact me with general support for the changes, and they also emailed some edits, but did promote the advocating for the flow regimes in the Columbia River. So I guess the next steps would be to adopt this at either the January or maybe February commission meeting after hearing today's comments and discussion. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. Questions from the commission? That's a great photo, too. Mr. McCutcheon.
Mr. Chairman, trying to find the slide here. Let's see. Ah, there it is. Slide number 8. And I just wondered what that other fish, is that a northern pike minnow? Is that a bait or is that a bycatch to the research or what is that?
Yeah, that was actually a pike minnow that caught the hook and then the sturgeon also. When they pulled it off the set line, there was both fish caught on the same hook. So...
Any other questions?
Glad you all at least enjoyed the graphics today.
good selection of victims. Especially Saturday morning. Keep it simple. Oh, picture's worth 1,000 words.
Question, when do we get the population updates, you know, with the juveniles, to all of that, our report on and recommendations for season set?
So currently that stock status update is scheduled for the February commission meeting.
Okay.
And so I heard it was recommended earlier to maybe push that decision in January to the February meeting. So I'm open to that if that's what the commission prefer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that point, the question was whether or not the changes to the policy are highly controversial and are so significant that it would be inappropriate to combine a final decision on the population or a final decision on the policy with a review of the annual situation and what to do about seasons. So you've got commercial advisor and public comments here. Are there some here that you all interpret to be highly controversial that we would expect a lot of public testimony on as this moves forward toward a final decision?
Your crystal ball.
Thanks, Commissioner McIsaac. In that we actually, well, first we actually heard back from a pretty small proportion of both sets of advisors. And so I think the fact that only a very small number of advisors on either side chose to speak up speaks to sort of overall a fairly broad acceptance of the policy and how it's been operating. Certainly, if if you were hearing a lot about commercial recreational allocation, then I would suggest that yes, it's probably an area that you might want to request additional analysis and attention. You'll always, of course, hear some. Obviously, that's ultimately a judgment for you to make in terms of whether or not that's controversial enough. The other issues that I think attracted more than at least one or two comments were whether or not to incorporate some additional guidance on the conservation and habitat end of things, and that the phrase that we're proposing to include about consideration of spawning, providing for spawning flows that provide for future production. Staff level, we don't think that is controversial, but that's an area that you might want to put a little bit of thought into, whether you consider it to be controversial. And then there's been some discussion as well about just the general policy about whether you want to continue re-examining this policy on a periodic basis, or whether you want to simply go to more of a report and fix when problems arise sort of approach. And that's the issue around whether or not to have another specific expiration date, or simply to adopt a process where, as part of our annual reporting to you, we'll flag when we think there's probably an issue with the policy that needs attention, or you'll see that yourself.
I've heard that because of the increase of pinniped predation on sturgeon, that they've actually been displaced from their traditional spawning areas and are using what I'd say substandard areas for spawning. And I don't know if that's enough of an issue to be incorporated into this policy, or just attention being paid to that during our annual review and season setting and abundance of population analysis.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybell. I think that currently we don't really have enough data to say that that is definitely occurring.
Okay.
I think that there is already some language about assessing or monitoring pinniped predation. So if there was a desire to beef up that language more, we could do that. I will try to keep that in mind and see if there's anything else I can bring to the stock status review in February to address that concern too.
Could I just add one short comment? Commissioner, we believe that this policy itself is robust to low production as well as higher production levels, that it provides appropriate guidance across all that. The policy issue there is the objective of both states and the lower river tribes of having additional management tools available to them to address pinniped predation on both salmonids and sturgeon. And to that end, you know, as Mr. Heikkilä mentioned in public testimony already, we're certainly hopeful that over the next few years now, under the legislation that's been passed by both houses of Congress regarding states' abilities to manage pinnipeds in the lower Columbia, we're hopeful that we can begin to address what you saw on that one slide, whether or not they're displacing them or anything else, it is pretty clear to us that increased pinniped production is a part of the decreased productivity at present of Columbia River sturgeon. But we believe that policy issue's been addressed well, and now it's back to management tools and development of management tools.
I'm trying to do a memory check here, and I see at the second to the last slide, it talks about next steps, January Commission meeting, final policy. Then I thought I heard you say February. And if my memory is serving me correctly, we were asked by some constituents to do it earlier than later because of bookings for guide boats, charter boats. They they wanted to get ahead of this, the curve a little bit so they could plan their opportunity. Is do I have that right? Or
so
we can check on that. I mean, I thought we did it last year in January, but I could be wrong. That's all I'm asking.
So I did the stock status review in February of 2018.
We did?
Yes.
Okay. If it worked then, it should work again now.
And that, and I did coordinate with Oregon, and so they'll be giving their commission the stock status also in February.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The commercial advisor comments, slash public comments, maybe that's how it is. The concern to, quote, maintain 80, or no, excuse me, concern of fishing guides using sport quota rather than commercial quota. This is under a title of commercial advisors, but maybe it's because of the public anyway. Are the commercial folks asking that the guide catch come under the commercial allocation, or?
Let's see if I have that email in front of me. So that was a comment. Let's see. They felt like the fishing guides were fishing without constraints and that they're catching the majority of the sport allocation. And that was from a commercial advisor asking.
So that's from a private, probably a private angler public comment. Is that right? Or is that coming from a commercial?
That's from a commercial advisor.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. No, there's no public comment for this item. And with that, that brings to a close. Yes.
Lest I forget, I just wanted to wish my colleagues up here, the staff, and all the people in the room a very Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Second? All those in favor?
We're out of here.
Thank you. And this brings to a close the meeting at 2:10:20.